The following recording was produced by the Queechy Church in Queechy, Vermont. For more information on the church, its activities, and resources, please visit us online at www.queechychurch.org.
The sermon passage this morning is from Ephesians 3:14 through 19. For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God.
My name is Joshua DePascrita, and it's my pleasure to be here this morning. I am super excited. As Ryan said, I'm like the first one outside of the CRC community coming in to the area. I've liked it so far. It's been pretty good. My wife and I live in White River Junction, and we've enjoyed it so far. So I don't know if I can say quite that I'm a fellow Vermonter yet. I've only been there for a month, so... But I am excited to be here. So, where do you feel closest to God? A lot of people answer this question by saying, well, I feel closest to God, say, in nature. We're in it right now. In the woods, or maybe on the local bike path, or maybe hiking. I absolutely love hiking, and my favorite mountain here in New England is Mount Lafayette. Now, even if you're not a Christian this morning, you've got to know that there's something out there. When you get to the top of Mount Lafayette, it's beautiful. You can see 360 around the valleys, like all the mountains. It's amazing. You almost feel like you're close to something transcendent. And if you're not a Christian, you've got to know that there's something out there that you want to be close to, but it somehow feels far away. Now, maybe for some of you, you say, I'm closest with God when I'm alone. Maybe it's in your room or in your prayer closet. Or maybe it's in your favorite chair by a window. Or maybe for some of you, you feel closest to God when you're together. When you're in the worship service like this. When you're praying with other believers. For me, though, on a more daily basis, when I'm not on a mountain, I feel closer to God in a different way. And for this, it started for me in the summer of 2020. You can think back to the summer of 2020. I'm sure you remember that is right when COVID started ruling the world. And COVID caused a lot of stress. Now, during that summer, I was also doing an internship at my local church. And this is in southern New Hampshire, where my parents currently live. Not many people are able to be together, but we still need to care for those people. And so that added a level of stress just as a pastoral leader and then as being part of a church that I'd just gotten to and never really been familiar with. The internship itself wasn't very well organized, and so that also put like more stress. And then there was lots of pressure to reopen the church as soon as possible to get people in person. And so that added even more stress. I had a migraine on Sunday for the first 3 weeks that I was there, and it was rough. I really realized that I needed the Lord and I needed his help. I needed his strength. And so daily I found myself on a spot that I found near my parents' house. It was right next to our house in a little creek. There was this big rock. And so I would go to this rock in this creek, and it was very pretty. The sun would come in the morning. I would go there usually in the mornings. The sun would come in and it'd stream in through the leaves of the trees. And it would reflect off of the stream and shimmer onto the leaves around me. It was quite pretty. And so I found myself there daily, needing to come before God. And I prayed something like this on my knees, because where else would I be? God, don't let me leave my knees today as I work for you. Give me your strength. Now, after that summer, I had known that I had grown closer to the Lord. I'd grown closer to the Lord because I was daily on my knees with him. Sometimes it was less evident on a daily basis, but I still prayed, and I saw it more clearly when I found myself daily coming to him. asking for strength, knowing that he was in me. And so this morning, I'm coming in the middle of a series called Walking with God. You guys have talked about general and specific ways to walk daily with our Savior, to have a better relationship with him, and do this thing we call life, right? Last week, Pastor Ryan talked about walking with God in determination. He went through Ephesians chapter 6, talked about the armor of God, then talked about standing against the schemes of the devil and standing with the Lord, standing with one another. And he talked about how prayer is a big part of how we do that. And so today, it's very natural for us to go back in Ephesians to chapter 3 to really find a place where Paul himself prays for the church as an example for us. And so today, we'll be talking about walking with God in us. Walking with God in us. We will see that we don't just walk with God. He also dwells in us. And we need him to dwell in us. I'm going to read Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 19 again. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow. Our main idea for today, for today's sermon, is we have been saved so that God may dwell in us. May God dwell in us. We have been saved so that God may dwell in us. May God dwell in us. The force of this passage comes from Paul, who is praying. Now, a little bit about Paul and the background from where he's praying from. Paul is Paul the Apostle, if you're familiar with Scripture. Paul is the Apostle. He's the last Apostle. He has a specific mission to the Gentile church, and so he was raised Jewish, and then he had a specific mission to the people who were not like him. Paul is very concerned in the book of Ephesians. He's writing to the Ephesian church. It's a city in the first century. Paul's very concerned with the relationship between his fellow Jews and those who are Gentiles in the church of God, in the city of Ephesus. He says in chapter 3, verses 8 through 13, makes it very clear his concern. It says, chapter 3, verse 8, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan for the mystery of ages hidden in God who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he was realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory. Paul is writing this from prison, and so he's encouraging them not to lose heart over how he is in prison for the sake of the gospel. One of Paul's points here in these verses is that the Gentiles, just like the Jews, in the gospel, participate. They participate in the family of God just as much as the Jews do. That is the unsearchable riches that you see in verse 8, and it's the mystery in verse 9, and it's the riches of his glory in verse 16. It's the gospel given to those who believe. Now, verse 15 of our passage today says, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. Paul is being very specific so that there is no one that can be excluded. Absolutely no one can be excluded from this. And so today in our message, none of you are excluded. Everyone should listen. Paul is praying here for every person who puts their faith in Jesus, no matter who you are, no matter what nationality, how old you are, where you are, what life circumstance, whether you come to this church regularly or you're just here for the first time, it doesn't matter. Paul is praying for you as a Christian if you put your faith in Christ. And so if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, if you haven't put your faith in Christ, I encourage you to listen, to really tune in and see what power and what love God has for you if you would only turn from your sin and put your faith in Him and become part of His family. Verse 14 of our passage for today says, for this reason. He's saying, for this gospel reason, because we have been saved, because we are part of His family, Paul then prays for the church. That's the reason. And so, what does Paul pray for us? Why is it important? And how do we walk with God in us? Well, Paul in this passage prays for God's power. He prays for our posture, and he prays for God's presence. God's power, our posture, and God's presence. The main idea again for today is we have been saved so that God may dwell in us. May God dwell in us. So first, God's power. Let's read verse 16 through 17. That according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Paul prays first for power from the Spirit, so that Christ may dwell in you. Why do we need to be empowered for Christ to dwell in us? Well, there's actually two reasons. First, we need power to be saved. And second, we need power to show that we're saved. So first, we need power to be saved. Paul, throughout the beginning of the book of Ephesians, describes the power of God in the gospel of saving people from death to life, from the family of darkness to God's family of glory. Ephesians 2 makes it very clear that those being brought were unable. They were dead. They were hostile towards God. They were at enmity with Him and with other people. They were far off. Now, if we're far off from God, we need His intervening grace to bring us near. It's like trying to get to the summit of a mountain. It's like trying to get up and hike Mount Lafayette. It takes work to get up the mountain. There's something you need to do in order to get there. Some of you have absolutely no desire to do any sort of work to get up a mountain, and you think those people who do are crazy. And you're pretty content just to look at pictures. Well, let me tell you, looking at pictures does not capture the same thing as being up there, being close to the sky, being surrounded by nothing but air. It's not the same thing. Now, some of you are simply unable to hike up Mount Lafayette, and as much as you may long for the summit of the mountain, you aren't just not physically able for whatever reason. For those of you who are able and are willing to hike mountains like myself, Scripture basically is saying, if we're looking at it as an analogy for the gospel, imagine trying to hike that mountain, but all of your bones are broken. You can't do it. It's impossible. It's impossible to get up that mountain with all your bones dead, completely unwilling to go. Just like it's impossible to be saved without the glorious riches of gospel grace. And so, we need power. We need to be empowered to be saved. God's power here in verse 16 must do something at the core of our being to change us, to change our desire, to empower us to be saved. And in verse 19 of chapter 2, it says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with saints and members of the household of God. Jump down to verse 22 of chapter 2. In Him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. God had to come in and prepare a place in our hearts to be indwelt by Him, by bringing us into His family. We cannot be indwelt by God. We can't have Him in us without being moved from sinful darkness into His family of grace. Paul prays for those in the church that they would be strengthened, or in the Greek it also means enabled, by God's power in salvation that has totally renewed their inner being to be indwelt by Him. To say it simply, God must do the work of readying our hearts to receive Him before He dwells in us. God must do the work of readying our hearts to receive Him before He dwells in us. We need power to be saved. And we have been saved so that God may dwell in us. Now, may God dwell in us. Why do I repeat that? Well, Paul does in verse 17. He says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Because we need power to show that we are saved. We need power to show that we are saved. Once we're Christians, we still need power of God to enable us to show that we are Christians. We were dead. Our bones were broken. And now we need God's power to be able to show Christ dwells in our hearts. We are now alive. We have now been made healed. We are being healed, being made alive. Now, if it were up to us without the Spirit empowering us and God just simply said, okay, you're saved, there was no change in our inner being, we would move on with life and take the gospel for granted. We'd move on and nothing would change. It would just simply be, oh yeah, I acknowledge the reality. God has saved me. If God hasn't transformed your heart and your life, then that's what your attitude towards him is going to be. You'd take the gospel for granted. If Christ just said, you're saved and I'm done, we would be left without growth and without a relationship empowered by the Spirit. This power to show that Christ is in us requires a certain posture on our part. It requires a certain posture. Paul prays first, church, may you be empowered to show Christ in you. And then he prays for our posture. He prays for our posture in first in verse 14. He prays from a certain posture. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. And then in verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. Paul first prays from a posture of neediness, and he prays for faith and love to increase. First, he prays from a posture of neediness. Paul here in verse 14 is on his knees. He's on his knees. On his knees is a marker, first it's a marker of humility, saying, I need you. And second, it's a marker of a personal relationship with God that desires to know him deeper. I know I need God. I need his power to show him more evidently. I need his power to be able to show that I am his. My relationship with God grows so much deeper when I am on my knees saying I need him. You see, the need for prayers is huge. We need God and his strength. We cannot be saved and we can't show him without him. How many of you follow Paul's example and pray for us as the church on your knees? Paul's devotional life in Scripture is very clear. Actually, even in Ephesians, just turn back a couple of chapters to chapter 1, in verse 16, he says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. He's praying for the Ephesian church. He encourages us in chapter 3, verse 12, saying, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. We have access to God. We have access to all of God. We have access to him, and that we have that access through prayer. We have access that is confident in God through faith. That's the kind of prayer that accomplishes God's will. Our God responds to the intercession prayer of his saints. That's us. He responds to prayer. Do you confidently, and do you boldly pray for the church, for its leaders, for its witness, for its love on a regular basis? You should. Prayer is powerful. We should all follow Paul's example and get on our knees regularly for the church and for ourselves and pray and ask God for spiritual strength, for empowering. We need it. Our posture should be one of neediness. Our posture should also be one of faith. Believing that prayer works and believing that God is empowering us. You need to believe it. It says in verse 17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It's not enough to say, yes, Lord, empower me with strength. You're in me. Do you believe God answers your prayers? If you don't believe you're going to get the strength that you're praying for, you will act as if you won't. If you don't believe that you're going to get the strength that you're praying for, you will act as if you won't. That is where the witness of the church is harmed. We say we believe the gospel, and then daily we act like we must rely on ourselves because prayer doesn't accomplish anything. It does. What does your life look like right now? What's happening in your life? I don't know. I haven't met many of you today. But you do. Is there suffering? Is it going great? Did you lose a loved one or a job? Are you searching for the answers to life's big questions? Are you living well with your spouse and with your parents and with your kids? Whatever the reason, whatever you are with God, you need Christ. You cannot do any of these things without him. You better believe that you cannot do any of it without him. Anyone who thinks otherwise is really just kidding themselves, not living in reality. You need Jesus. Do you believe that? You don't need more control, and now I'm preaching to myself here. I don't need more control over my relationship with my wife or our new living situation or over the ins and outs of the CRC being a new pastoral resident. I don't need more control. I don't need more control on how my wife loads the dishwasher or how the Sunday school teachers will teach kids. I need Jesus, or I will work for nothing of merit. I believe it. That's why I don't go a day without being on my knees in prayer. I am weak without him. Thank God for his strength. If you're not a Christian, ask God for a posture of faith. He will hear your prayer. Believe him. He's the only one who can help you. Paul also prays for a posture of love. Getting to know our Savior through love and showing his love to other people. In the second half of verse 17, says, through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. You see, Christ dwells in you, so you should seek him. Seek him in love, and then show him in love. First, a posture of love seeks Christ. Rooted and grounded means to grow. It means to be solid in Christ. It's also an encouragement to seek further relationship with him, to dig your roots down deep into him, to abide in him, as John would say, the Gospel of John. Make him your sure foundation of your soul, your refuge, your daily strength. Grow in him. You need a daily devotional discipline, and you need to be on your knees. You see, in the fall of 2020, this was right after the summer of 2020, where I had started that daily discipline of being on my knees. The fall of 2020 was probably the worst semester I've ever had at school. The COVID restrictions made it very hard to fellowship with one another. I was living on a guy's dorm floor, and we had to wear masks on our floor in our rooms sometimes at the beginning of COVID. And it was really difficult for fellowship and for intimacy, and it blocked a lot of those relationships from getting deeper. The restrictions, as well as the 2020 election, disseminated disunity among the guys on my floor and the ministry that I was a part of at the time, on top of just regular life troubles. I got my first D in one of my classes that semester. But that was right after the summer I'd spent on the rock, on my knees. And so that fall, well, I wasn't in nature like this. I was in Chicago in a guy's dorm room. And the place I found by myself was in a trash chute maintenance room, which is not exactly a spiritually conducive location, like the rock in the creek with the sun shimmering off the... But that's okay. But what was important wasn't the location. It was the daily discipline. It was the posture of neediness on my knees. It was the posture of faith in him to empower me, and a posture of love seeking Christ, seeking to know him more. That's what still keeps me going today. Even when I wane in my discipline, I remember that when I go back to that discipline, I get to know him more. Because if you don't have a daily devotional discipline, try saying that a few times fast, daily devotional discipline, you will not grow in your relationship with him. You need him, whatever that looks like for you. Because for some of us, we can get a little intimidated by other people who have a daily discipline of an hour a day, and I can't do that. Just start off with something. Start off with 10 minutes. Even 5 minutes, if 10 minutes is too much. Start off with 10 minutes of your day dedicated just simply nothing else but you and him. You'll soon find that 10 minutes is not enough. Find the time. It's that important. A posture of love seeks Christ, and then a posture of love also shows Christ. Who do you know who shows that they are rooted and grounded in love? Who around you knows and shows God's love really, really well? Would people say that you do that? Would people say that you are rooted and grounded in love? Well, here's the test. Ask your spouse or your family if they would say that you are rooted and grounded in love. This past Monday was my 1 month anniversary of being married to my beautiful wife, Michael. And I look back and I remember some of the favorite parts of our wedding. One of my favorite parts of the wedding day was hearing Ephesians 5, 22 to 33 read during our ceremony. I wrote down my own vow based on that passage in Ephesians 5, promising to love Michael just as Christ loved the church. That's one of the practical things that Paul gets into later in this book. Part of my vow says, Michael, as your husband, I promise to love you and give myself up for you, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. I commit to be as dedicated to loving you as Christ is to loving us. So are you dedicated? Are you dedicated to love? Are you just as dedicated to loving your spouse or your family or anyone for that matter as much as Christ is to dedicated to loving you? Christ died for us. Are you showing that kind of love? You should be. God's presence dwells in you. Paul here is on his knees and he prays, Church, may you be rooted in faith and love. And, verse 19, for God's presence. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You see, we have been saved so that God may dwell in us. May God dwell in us. Paul prays for the power of God to enable our posture of faith so that the presence of God might become more evident. There are two ways that God's presence becomes more evident. First of all, it's by our unity, and second, by our maturity. First, may God's presence become more evident by our unity. This is not just an individual thing. Salvation does not belong to the individual, it belongs to the community. The gospel is meant to unify God's church. In Ephesians 4, right after this passage, Paul is going to get into the practical so what of unity. What does it mean to be unified? What does it mean to be one with God? First and foremost, we must gather together and learn together. Christian, please go to church. Please go to community group, to Bible study, to prayer night, VBS, men's or women's ministry, youth group, young adults fellowship, whatever and wherever the body of Christ is gathering, please go. Spend time with those who have the fullness of Christ in them and spread the Spirit of God that has the fullness of God in you. This is meant to be a corporate salvation, to spur one another on, to continue to dwell in and show the love of God. This is not just for individuals, by themselves, in their homes, away from church and its people. We come together to grow together. May God's presence become more evident by our maturity. I'm a man. Hopefully this is evident to you. As a man, I fit into the category of being a little less emotionally intelligent than the average person. I often need strength to comprehend my emotions so that I manage them well. My wife, on the other hand, has a lot of emotions. Sometimes I need strength to comprehend her. She is very emotionally intelligent, however, and one of the reasons why I love her so much is because she helps me very well to comprehend emotions. She's very patient. I've gotten to know her better. I've gotten to know myself better. And I've been able to better serve others as a pastor as we learn and grow together. When you have strength to comprehend something together with someone, you see, look at verse 18. It says, may you have strength to comprehend with all the saints. What is the breadth, length, and height, and depth? and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. With all the saints, you get to know that other person. When you grow to comprehend something together, you get to know that other person, you get to deeper with them, and you get to see more clearly how that something works. Now, if you apply this to God's love, it lets us see the immeasurable love of our Savior, and it helps us adopt the same passion in our growth together as a body. You see, the depth of that love is greater than knowledge. It says, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that surpasses all of those measurements. He's not trying to say that there's some measure that we need to attain and it's not possible to attain it. He's saying that it's immeasurable because it's unending. It's unending. It will never be exhausted. The God's love is never exhaustible. You can keep coming to him, keep growing, keep coming to him on your knees, keep saying, I need you. His love is never inexhaustible, or it's never exhaustible. It surpasses all height, all depth, all length, all breadth, and it is inexhaustible for eternity, and it's worth pursuing passionately. Imagine being around people all the time who are deeply in love with God, wholeheartedly, and they wholeheartedly believed that he dwelt in them. Imagine that non-Christians are around you, Christian, and they know that wholeheartedly you have some different kind of love dwelling in you. Imagine walking with God in us. Paul prays, church, may God dwell in us. And so, the conclusion? Pray. Pray. Today, where do you feel closest to God? Well, I often need a reminder that we walk with God in us. So I daily get on my knees. I daily get on my knees just like Paul. Just like Paul prays. Just like Paul prays, we should also pray. First, for God's power. We need his power to be saved. We need his power to show that we are saved. We need his power. Then we can pray for our posture. We need our posture of neediness, knowing that we need him desperately. Our posture of faith, believing that prayer works. Our posture of love, being just as dedicated to loving others as Christ is to loving us. And then we can pray for God's presence. May God dwell in us, to become more evident by our unity, and then more evident by our maturity. We have been saved so that God may dwell in us. May God dwell in us. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the very clear sign that you are with us, and that's your Holy Spirit inside of us. Thank you very much for the power that you give us. Thank you, God, for the rootedness and faith and love that you ask us to have and that you give us the empowering to do. Thank you, God, for saving us so that you may dwell in us. God, may you dwell in us. May it be evident that you dwell in the church. May it be evident in the church, and may it be evident to those outside the church that you are right here with us. God, we thank you. Thank you for this morning. We thank you for this day. And it's in your name that I pray. Amen.